Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Thank you. Would you do me the favor? Could we join with all of heaven, including my dad, and worship? Jesus, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we join with heaven now, and we thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your wisdom, for your ever-present help in time of need. We invite your spirit into this place, from this room down to our kids' ministry, even throughout the neighborhood. Let miracles begin to start happening, even in this neighborhood and surrounding areas. We thank you, Father God. I thank you, God, that you are present. I thank you, God, that you are not done moving, that miracles are for today, bigger than we've ever seen in the entire history of the world, God. We call on your name today, and we worship you, Father, for you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we join all of heaven in saying, glory to God, for you are good and only good, and we worship you. Oh, Holy Spirit, we ask you to take over today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated today? You all look good. You all look really good. I know for those of you, I feel maybe necessary. I think most of you know that my wonderful father, a hero to me, went to be with Jesus on Monday. And I didn't want to continue the service without somebody knowing that. And you might be like, what is this chick saying? Okay? So I thought just that would probably be a good thing in case you didn't know. And I appreciate you guys for being here, for honoring God, but also for honoring my dad and my family. I can't think of a better way to honor my father than to teach the word of God for exactly what it is. And there's a lot I could say. I'll speak some about my dad throughout this message. And I appreciate your grace today if I sound a little interesting. It's been a week, and you know what is really incredible to me is my dad, one of the very last thing that he said was, I'm not dying. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, and quit worrying about me. Could he have said anything else more Jim McGaffin like? I don't truly think so. We knew Friday morning things really switched. And so our family came in, we surrounded him, he said some things, we, you know, were with him. He was in just severe pain. His spine had been fractured from that cancer. So you can imagine. And at that point, from his waist down, he lost all feeling. And you know, the worst thing in life, think of it, that could happen. And my dad never let one ounce of doubt leave his mouth. And I will remember and cherish and respect that and stand on that for the rest of my life. And my mom, oh, she was immovable. The doctor said, it's, you know, you have, at one point they said, weeks. At one point, they said days. At one point, they said hours. And my mom, every time, said, I rebuke those words. I rebuke those words. My mother, my dad is a hero, but my mother. If you're in a fight, trust me, you don't want to be in one with her. I mean it. Especially paintball. She's vicious. Every man for themselves. She'll hunt you down, man. You be careful. She's sneaky, that one. Yeah, you don't want to. You're like, if you ever get in a situation where you're playing paintball and my mom happens to be there, I can't see why this would happen. But should you find yourself there, you want her on your team. I promise you. Because all loyalty exits. She's like, I know we love each other and we'll love each other after the game, but right now I'm coming for you. But that is the attitude my mom has had throughout this entire thing with my dad, years. And you know, it's when you're fatigued, when there's a lot going on, it's so easy. When you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And my mom, I never heard her budge once. In moments where anyone would have, she did not. So mom, I know you're watching. I love you. And I honor you today. Your faith and your fight is something that should be written about. And I believe if the Bible were still being written today, your name would be there. Do you have your Bibles? I'm honored today to have my dad's Bible. And my mom, I said, is that all right? And she said, yeah, he wouldn't have it any other way. There's a few scriptures at the end that I'll read. But if you have your Bible, would you just wave it up? You know, there are a lot of things that parents want to leave to their kids. A lot. The most expensive thing my dad ever gave me was what he left inside me. And you want what you give to your kids? To be what you learned from here. I stole my dad's notes this week. I was looking through, and I thought, wow, you're pretty smart. Like, I knew that, but my goodness, some of these notes, they're incredible. I should have snuck them away from him a while ago. Would you look to your neighbor and say, hey, take a deep breath. We're in the house of God. Jesus is here. It's going to be okay. Hi, Officer Travis. Thank you for being here. It's wonderful to see your face. I'm okay. I've asked you if you had your Bible. I think I'm going to get there in a minute. You can go to 1 Corinthians 2, and it's going to be a moment before I get there, so you really have some time to find it if you need it. There have been countless revivals that have taken place, and I thank God for that heritage. The heritage of faith we have of people that came before us that we are able to build upon what the Holy Spirit began in them. My dad was a part of many of those. My dad was in the rooms where many of those began. But for me to pray, oh God, do what you did 50 years ago. Oh God, do the miracles like you did back in the Bible. Would be an inaccurate prayer. Because the God I serve he never takes a step back. It's always forward. and the miracles we read in the Bible, I think sometimes a lot of Christians, and you know, I grew up in church, and sometimes that's an incredible privilege, and I'm so grateful. But I think a lot of people that didn't grow up in church, you have a bit of an advantage. Because when you read the Word of God, you don't have a bunch of bad teaching or religious whatever questioning, is this true or not? It's so much easier to believe. When I was studying ballet, I would read the books. I would read the articles. I would watch all of the most well-known dancers. I would study it. And I knew if I did what they did, I could do what they did. I would be able to do it. And when you grow up in church, if you grew up around wrong teaching, we'll help you here. But if you're like, I feel kind of weird because I didn't grow up in church, and I feel a little out of place because people seem to know a lot more about the Word of God than I do. Oh, honey, you're sitting on a gold mine, because every word is true. And you get to read it from the standpoint of why wouldn't it work? Why wouldn't it work? The Bible says that the latter days will be greater than the former days. Now, I know that a lot of us in the room have never seen what happened 100 years ago. If you have, is anybody in here 100? All right, so close, but not. We weren't there, but that doesn't mean that what God did 100 years ago, he can't do bigger, better, greater. It doesn't mean that. I believe when it said that he will do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask, dream, think, or even imagine, that he meant it. We're all choosing to believe something. You're putting effort in something. You're either choosing not to believe it or to believe it. And only one of those will bring results. And I know that the church, we're heading into some miraculous signs, wonders, revival like the world has never seen. Never seen. Never even heard of, never even grasped some of the things that God is about to do. God is the God that takes us where no man has been before. These are truly the greatest days of the church. Let me show you something. I'm not going to read this, but just to get you there. Joel 2 says that in the former days, I let out the rain moderately. Say moderately. God is saying, grasp this. This. I felt like my mind exploded a little bit when I had this thought. That God's saying that everything he did up to the book of Joel was a moderate display of his glory. Now, some of you look a little perplexed. Maybe you don't know what moderate means. We're supposed to eat moderately. moderate. I like to define moderate as the volume's down real low. And he's saying everything he did, which was a lot, up until Joel, was moderate. Volume down real low. But he tells us in the last days that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And I call that volume wide open. And that's where you and I are headed today. Oh, Lord. Well, I don't need you anyways. Okay. You know, we read throughout the Bible, and God's people were notorious for wanting to camp out in places that they were only meant to pass through. We see it through, I mean, pick a chapter. It's everywhere where people ended up camping out in a place that they were only supposed to walk through. Moses, great man of God, pastored a church of about 3 million people. I mean, I just got to say, as a pastor, that is intense. I am fatigued thinking about it. That is a lot. 3 million people, most of all whom hated him, had nothing but mean things to say about him. Nothing but judgment, nothing but, I wouldn't have done it that way, you're handling it wrong. And, you know, a lot of people will tell you how to do things that have no skin in the game, that have never played the game. Imagine, I'll use myself, okay? Imagine me going to a professional basketball game and going, Coach, I got it. I know exactly. You all would think, Mercedes, I love you, but please don't do this to yourself. Please do not embarrass yourself this way. My husband would lovingly be like, just come here. Just come here. Just come here. But this is what it was like. 3 million people acting like they knew what they were doing when they were bystanders and they were never involved with the miraculous power. 3 million people, most of whom disliked him, stayed mad at him, murmured against him. But the day he died, they wanted to just camp out right there and mourn the rest of their lives. And I'm convinced that this is most likely why God hid his bones. So they couldn't find them and spend the rest of their life mourning his death. Now, this is a different type of message for me today. That I did not want to preach. And I feel like you guys are my family, and I can be honest with you. I told God no every day this week. I am not the one. Don't make me talk about this. But God's so good. And I was raised well enough and taught well enough by both my parents that regardless of how you feel, you do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. So I'm going to do that today. God finally had to say to them, Moses, my servant, is with me. Get up and go to the next level. And that same spirit, I have seen a lot and I believe has crept into the church today where people want to camp out on what God has already done. Do we praise him for it? Absolutely. Should we call it to remembrance to say he did it then, he'll do it again? Yes. Should we honor the heritage? Yes. But we also need to know that God is not done because there was an exit. That God did not diminish in power or glory because one of his sons got to enter into heaven. That God's power is not now dwindled or watered down because Pastor Jim isn't sitting here in the front row. He's as big as ever. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating and honoring what God has already done. It's biblical, and we should, and we will. There's nothing wrong with remembering all that God has done over all of the years, because it gives us hope and expectancy that he'll do it again. But if we aren't careful, you'll camp out on what God has already done when all that he has for you, your best days are still ahead. They're still in front of you. And as a church, we're not going to do that. We're going to honor the legacy of my father. And we're not going to camp out in mourning going, well, that means God's done. No, he's not. There are things we've never even heard of, seen, thought, or imagined that he's going to do. The cloud is moving, and God wants us to move with him. And I believe you and I are headed for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like the world has never seen. Praise God. Now, if you didn't find 1 Corinthians, you should probably give up at this very moment. And we'll throw it on the screen for you, okay? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready. Things don't expire that have your name on it. Your miracle does not have an expiration date. You ever seen that silly commercial where it's like a mother-in-law comes in and she's looking through and she's like, expired, expired, everything in the fridge? Yeah? If you have a mother-in-law like that, and they're here, just look ahead, okay? But the things God has set for your life with your name on it never expires. And the devil hates that. Because he'd love to think, okay, if I can just get him past these next couple months, then that's not available anymore. Oh, can you imagine how much it truly ticks him off knowing they can have that whenever they want? Was it The Price is Right where they do like a lifetime supply of like soup, Campbell's soup or something stupid like that? Okay, this is a silly analogy, all right, and I realize that. But you have an endless supply of God's mercy, grace, miracles, covering, favor. Endless. Endless. That verse in 1 Corinthians has a twofold meaning. Not just spiritual things. I'm going to grab this in a minute. I'm going to put it here. It's putting a glare. And although it's probably entertaining for you, it's not enjoyable for me. Okay. Has a twofold meaning. Not just spiritual things that are on God's agenda, but it also includes material things. prosperity. In fact, in the book of Joel, you will find out that it is not a true move of God if it's only spiritual. It always includes financial prosperity. Now, some of you just, maybe your stomach dropped a little and you went, whoa, I was with you up until right then. Unsure what you're trying to say. Let me explain it to you. If you read the book of Joel again, which I highly suggest you do, it's been blessing me a lot the last 2 weeks, you'll notice that he says, I will restore. There will be an overflow. You will have plenty. And then it says, I will pour out my spirit. There will be an outpouring of prosperity in the church of God globally, along with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let me explain why. Because an outpouring of the Holy Spirit will be so massive, so vast, so many lives changed, that the church will have to be prosperous enough to finance it all. Hallelujah. Can you imagine right now if just Omaha, Nebraska, if prosperity took off in such an intense way and the Spirit of God moved mightily that every news station, it was so dramatic that they couldn't stop reporting about Omaha, Nebraska. Because with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you need a place to put the people. You need a place where they can come, learn, grow, be taught right, experience the very presence of God. And I know that a lot of us maybe grew up, or you heard, or you have an aunt and uncle that thinks that they know all. Anybody have those? It's like, wow, you sure do have all the answers, and they're all wrong. But I'm just gonna let you, you know, have your moment. God never said money was the root of all evil. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. It takes on the character of whoever is grasping it. What money would do in a drug dealer's hands will not do what it would do in mine. Takes on the character. And we have to get out of that poverty mindset of we make it just enough. You know, we don't want to be too extravagant. When you can give, think of what you could do. Think of the places in the world you could reach. Think of the things you could help start. Think of the coat drive, how small that started and what it's become. Why? Because people believed that if I give, God will give back to me. But if I don't have anything to give, and there are dreams in my heart to give more. You meet a single mom at the store and you see she's putting things back because they're too expensive. Or you see her on her phone using her calculator. What if you believed God enough that you really were his son and his daughter, and everything he has, which is infinite supply, was yours? How different would your life look if you lived in your right as a son and daughter of the Most High God, and you were able to give like no one else could give? You were able to meet needs the moment you saw it. It's a God's promise for us. That means the church has to be prosperous beyond anything it's ever experienced before. so we can finance a great move of God. God has some things prepared, some things that he is keeping ready. How wonderful is that? Keeping ready, keeping fresh. Have you ever seen snow? Like it's like the clouds, or it's about to rain, and you can tell the clouds are about to burst. Like if you had a pin and you popped it, it would just. That's how ready your inheritance is. Now I remember that Paul says that the only way you and I could know all these things that God has prepared for us would have to be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:7 says he did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, you should circle this, limitless, surpassing, I'm reading out of the Amplified Classic, riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, and his kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. Notice that Paul wrote this ages ago. Would you agree? He did not write this yesterday. He did not write this morning. He wrote this ages ago. And I am totally convinced that when Paul wrote this, he saw our generation. I believe Paul saw my face in that crowd. He just did not know my name. But he saw my face. He saw your face. Had he known our names, they'd be written right there. That in the ages to come, God is going to show Mercedes Josefiak the exceedingly abundantly riches of his grace and his kindness. See, he didn't know my name, but he could see my face. And he didn't know your name, but he could see your face. This is a promise from your Father to you. Your face. Your beautiful face. He saw. Now you may think, well, Mercedes, no, he's talking about heaven. Let's go there for a moment. What good would it be for God to show us all this in heaven? What good would it be for God to show all of his goodness, his favor, his kindness when we get to heaven? That's not a need in heaven. It's the air you breathe in heaven. It's not a need. Today, my dad doesn't need that. He's breathing it. He's living it. He's walking it. But you and I need that manifestation and demonstration down here on earth. That's why it says have heaven on earth. That he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, and his kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. Now notice Paul says there is coming a time that wasn't in his generation, but in ages to come. There's coming a time when the people of that time will see God clearly demonstrate immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his unmerited favor and kindness, goodness, and heart towards us. Look at someone and say, I'm headed for the limitless. Now say it like it wasn't a question mark at the end. Say it like there was an exclamation point. I am headed for the limitless. God prepared it for me, and he's keeping it ready for me. And I believe the time has come for us to tap right into it. Amen? Those are all words describing something we have never seen before. See, sometimes God does miracles, and you think about the miracle so much that you almost praise the miracle, and you forget the one who gave it to you. And you're like, you know, this miracle, it's going to, I just want miracles like this. And you preconceive and give more glory to the miracle than you do the one who gave it to you. He's not going to do it the same every time. The way he healed me a year and a half ago, he's gonna do new things. He hasn't run out of ideas. And we praise sometimes the what he does instead of praising the one who did it. Jesus, King Jesus. Miracles exist because he gives them. And he never runs out of ideas. Never. God prepared it for me, and he's keeping it ready. Those are all words describing something we've never seen. And as good as God has been to you up until this point, and God has been good to me, but I keep hearing him say, you haven't seen anything yet. Wait until you get into the limitless, the immeasurable, and the surpassing. God has some things prepared for you, and it's things that you have never even heard or seen or thought of or imagined. You ought to be shouting that this is your generation Paul was talking about. It would have been great to walk with Paul and learn. It would have been great to go and walk with Jesus on, you know, at Galilee. It would have been great. Yeah. But we were born for this time, and we get the best out of all of it. It's talking about you and me. Limitless, immeasurable. Paul prophesied it. You and I are the living beings of it. God saved the best for you and me. We're headed for things that no man has seen or heard or possibly imagined, and we will experience them. Ephesians 3:20 in the Message translation says this: God can do anything. You know far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. That means a lot to me, that he's gentle. He's patient with us. He's patient, he's gentle. It says, glory to God in the church, glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus, glory down all the generations, glory through and through and through, come on, say, and through your generation, and generations after you are living this now. Amen. So no matter how big you think you can think, he's going to do it way bigger than that. If you can dream it, God can do it bigger. If you can think it, God can do it bigger. If you can dare to believe it, God can do it bigger. If you can pray for it, God can do it bigger. If you can ask for it, God can do it bigger. Be a little audacious in what you ask from your Father. He likes that. He's like, oh, they're coming boldly. They believe me. That also, fulfillment means to complete or bring to full measure. Okay, we're going to need that as we head into the final parts here. The word of God says that he will fulfill every promise to you and to me. That God is going to complete some things in your life, some things you've been believing for that maybe they looked like they'd never come to pass. God will complete. They will come to pass, and they're about to manifest, praise the Lord. Psalms 20, I really would love to read this whole thing to you, and you know what, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it fast, but I want you to circle verse 5, okay? Psalms 20, it says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt offerings. Selah, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all of your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and we stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Praise God. Verse 5, the Lord fulfill all your petitions. That means that God is going to complete some things in your life. Some of you should claim that. My Bible says that he is the God that perfects that which concerns me. That which he began in me, he will complete it. That he perfects that which concerns me. Maybe some of you came in concerned. God will perfect it. It's not the time to let go. It's not the time to turn back. It's not the time to let go of your faith. It is not the time to cast away your confidence. It is not the time to quit standing, hoping, believing. It will come to pass, and far better than you've ever dreamed or hoped. This is a time when you will experience the fulfillment of your petitions. Maybe some of us in the room have almost thrown in the towel. I don't know if I can take anymore, stand anymore. Is it worth it anymore? Listen, that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Because he knows you're about to have a breakthrough like you've never had before. That this is a time of total fulfillment. And you and I are going to experience the limitless, immeasurable, surpassing favor, grace, and goodness of God like we've never experienced it before in our lives. I'm headed for the things that God has prepared and made ready for me because I love him. I am headed for the immeasurable and limitless, the surpassing riches of his grace and merited favor. I'm headed for the goodness and kindness of God. My best days, and church, your best days, are ahead of you, not behind you. I know the first thought that comes to a lot of our minds is, well, how is God going to do all this? And I know that's your first thought because it was mine. But how will God do this? How? Explain that to me. How? My God is a God of surprises. That's how he's going to do it. Says he will honor his word because he's a covenant-keeping God. I love Weiss reminds me of this all the time. He says, aren't you even going to act like you have a covenant with God? That's sobering. That's a, I have nothing to say. Yes, I will. Act like I have a covenant with God. It says he will honor what he said in his word. But how he goes about doing that, please hear this. How he goes about doing it, completing all your petitions, how he is going to move you into the limitless, the immeasurable, the surpassing riches of his grace. How he goes about doing that, I do not know, but I do know this. He's a God of surprises. I'm going to read something from my phone, and then I'm going to wrap up to the part that I promise you will be like, that's why I came to church today. All right? Let me get there. To trust God is to rely on his integrity. And this is what it means. That I'm so convinced that he cannot lie. That it's impossible for him to lie. That you would dare go out on a limb and not look back. Means you trust his integrity so much that he never lied about what your covenant is with him, that you're willing to step out in full confidence, knowing if I step, he will step with me. He will back me up. Your God will back you up. He will even make your mistakes turn out right for you. That is the God that we serve. It means also to commit to the care of. In other words, you quit trying to figure it all out by yourself. I was there this week. Quit trying to figure it all out by yourself. And I heard God say, tell the church that I don't need their help. I just need their faith. I don't need their help. I just need their faith. Greatest revelation that you'll ever receive in your life is that God is smarter than you. I know that sounds just like, duh, but let that sink in. The greatest revelation is going, you are smarter than me. He knows what to do. Trusting God means you've come to the place where you've taken basically Solomon's advice. Proverbs 3:5. I'm going to get this out here. Proverbs 3:5. And my dad had this circled and underlined. Says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways. No, wait. There's something before that. And do not rely on your own insight and understanding. He doesn't need our help. He needs our faith. It's my job to believe that he can. It's my job to believe that he will. It's never a surprise to me that God does it. It's always a surprise to me how he does it. That's what that means. It's never a surprise to me that God will do it. However, it has always been a surprise to me on how he does it. And he doesn't want us to try to figure out how he's going to do it. He just wants you to believe what he said. You get up every day of your life expecting it to be another surprise day receiving from your God. Psalm 62:5. And I didn't give these ones to you, Nick, so I'm sorry. It says, Psalm 62:5. It says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence and quietly submits to him. For my hope is in him." My hope is in him. Now we've waited all service for us to get where we're going now, okay? One of my dad's favorite words in the Bible, and a message that many of you who have been with us since probably I was born, or maybe before, Pastor Mike, you've probably heard this quite a lot, was the word suddenly. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven. They knew it was coming, had the word that it was coming, didn't know when, didn't know the time, the day. All they knew was that Jesus told them. And they had to wait for it. They didn't give up a day early. They had to be convinced that God is a covenant-keeping God. And after a period of time of waiting and obeying and being patient, and I'm sure there were moments and times that they thought, I don't know if anything is going to happen. How much longer do we have to do this? And God said, suddenly, and he surprised them. And when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, my favorite story of one of God's surprises is when it says, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. You talk about a surprise, Jesus hanging there on the cross. He cries out, "Oh God, why have you forsaken me?" And all the demons in hell at one point said, "We got him just where we want him." They thought their champion, Satan, had defeated God and defeated the Son of God. Saying, listen to him, he's crying out. God's forsaken him. We have him right where we want him. And then Jesus cries, "It is finished." And now they're convinced that they had him. And Jesus, it says, he enters Hades to pay the price. for man's transgressions for 3 days and nights. They were partying. Oh, we got him. We got him. We got him right where we want him. And after those 3 days and nights, the Supreme Court of heaven and the entire universe was satisfied that the blood of Jesus had met the demand and paid the price, and he was justified. And the Bible says that he stripped Satan and every demon in hell of all of their power and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave in the midst of their celebration. He destroyed principalities and made a show of them openly in their own house. What a surprise. It looked like it was over. Just when the party is almost in full gear, thought they had him just where they wanted him, Jesus surprises them all and leaves them absolutely naked of power. He goes to the upper region, that place called paradise, and he preaches to all those Old Testament spirits, those saints, all the Old Testament saints who were protected in paradise, Abraham's bosom, it says. And it says he led captivity captive. I bet David was on the front line. As Jesus is taking all those Old Testament people with him, and David is right there in the front shouting, "Open the gates, for the King of Glory has come in." Who is the King of Glory? The Lord Almighty in battle. The King of Glory. Hallelujah, what a surprise. Satan fell for Calvary hook, line, and sinker. What an idiot. I mean, they don't come dumber than that. Sorry, Dad. All right. I almost said a different word, so, you know, there we go. It says, he thought he had defeated the Son of God, but the Bible says, had he known, he would have never touched him. Ponder that for a moment. Had he known. Now, this is the word for us. Had the devil known where you and I are headed, he would have left you alone. Had the devil known the breakthrough that you're headed for, he would have never put you under the pressure you're under right now. Had he known. You might be saying, you know, I've been under the greatest attack of my life, the greatest financial attack, the greatest health attack, the greatest attack on my joy, on you name it. That means it's time to rejoice because you're headed for a breakthrough. Amen. A suddenly good break. Amen. Had the devil known where you were headed, where you're about to go, and the victory that you're about to experience, the limitless, immeasurable riches of God's grace you're about to walk into, he would have never launched an attack on you. And I'm telling you today that if you feel like giving up, like ringing the bell, it's time to shout. Because God's about to do a sudden good break, a sudden breakthrough, a sudden turnaround. Had he known, he would have never messed with you. And it says to me that it's an indication that you have the devil right where you want him. He just fired his best shot. You're still standing. And you're going to win. You may feel like you can't stand anymore. You've done all you know to do. I've been there. I was there on Monday. And I refuse to say out of my mouth, I can't take anymore. I refuse to say I can't take anymore is to slap Jesus across the face and say, Calvary didn't work. Your blood didn't work. It did work. It did work. You have to determine after this morning that giving up and quitting is no longer an option. It's not an option. It's not in your vocabulary. You're headed for the best. You're headed for the greatest, for the limitless, the immeasurable. I really believe that a majority of you in this church in 24 hours are going to see the biggest breakthrough in your life. Some of you should be excited about that. In 24 hours, come on, in one night everything changed. The devil thought, we got you right where we wanted you. And the whole time Jesus was going, I got you right where I want you. Little do you know, everything can change overnight. Everything can change overnight. Now, before I get to the very last moment of this message, is there anyone in here who's never made Jesus Lord of your life? I want you to raise your hand boldly. Jesus was not shy about you. He's not ashamed about you. You don't be ashamed about him. Anybody at all? Okay. I want you to, would you close your eyes? I want you to picture whatever it is, whatever the attack has been. Whatever it's been. Maybe it's from all directions. I feel you there. Whatever it's been. Now, realize as you're looking at it, oh, had he known. Had he known, he would have never launched an attack on you. Had he known the victory that you're about to walk into, had the devil known how absolutely pissed off I am, he would have never touched my dad. Had he known, he would have never messed with you. But now you need to see, I will not quit. I will stand another day. I will believe another day. I will rejoice another day because I have the devil right where I want him. He fired his best shot. I'm still standing. I'm still standing. And I would close with this, and the only way I know how to honor my dad the devil must be looking at you saying, right now in this room, oh, there must be some mistake. And my reply to him would be, and you made it.
Praise the Lord. How many of you needed that today? Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good today? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we receive that word today. We receive it. We receive it today. Come on, receive it today. We receive it today. We don't push it back. We won't forget it. We receive it today. We ask Holy Spirit, let it get deep into our hearts. Let it get deep into our spirits today. We receive it today. And we will be as bold as a lion. We will be as bold as a lion. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Pastor Mercedes, thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Is that good today? Amen. Well, we're just going to do this today. Pastor Mike just, he reached out last night, and we know a lot of you have just asked, hey, what's something that we can do to help?
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com, and we'd love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.